This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we have another jam-packed show. So much to talk about. My show prep this morning was just like sending you this and sending you that. It's crazy.
Well, you know, we're going to get to what occurred last night.
Oh, my gosh.
There's some of the greatest things you will ever see. So
the memes. Anyway, we're going to jump in. One of our favorite events of the year and one of our favorite guests, Greg Roach. He's here representing the Salem Roadster Show. It's that time of year.
Yes, it is. It's our 20th year.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's right. You know, last time you were on, we knew this was going to be the big anniversary.
Absolutely.
Where did the year go?
I know.
Jeez. I don't know.
Well, it's always great to have you. We always love seeing you, and the show is always great. It's out at the fairgrounds. Tell us what folks can expect this year.
Well, this year, as I said, it's our 20th year, and we have the most we've ever had. There's about 120 cars. We have 180 cars this year. We have two buildings full.
Whoa.
We have waiting list and full, and it's going to be great. You know, just going to be Saturday and Sunday, the 28th of February, 9 to 6. And on Sunday, it'll be 9 to 5 on March 1st.
And I know you always treat the ladies really well. The ladies
we
get
do
in.
On Sunday only. We only treat them good on Sunday. And that's five.
Saturday, you're on your
own.
Yeah,
you're on your own. $5 for the ladies on Sunday only. And 15 and under free all weekend.
Nice. Yeah. Now, you usually have like a famous car or two.
We don't
Who's
have a famous.
That's
no, we don't have a famous car. We have a group of cars. There's eight of them that are competing for the Emerald Award, and those
so
are.
So tell
the,
us about that. What's that award?
Well, it's an eagle, a wood eagle, really fancy trophy, and it has a. I'm sure it's not quite a real emerald in it, but it looks like a real emerald, and the winner of that gets $1,500. And so those cars are the only ones competing for that award, eight cars. And they're judged, and there's a lot of criteria goes into picking that winner. It's just not a judge. Everybody else gets, like usual, we've had jackets for, this our 20th years. We had to go to vests this year. We started out with leather jackets, and now we're down to vests. Because of the cost, and the costs are just prohibitive. Now they have an option to pay a little bit more, and then they can have a jacket. But it's all embroidered. The rest of the cars aren't judged at all, so everybody gets the same award. So that's the beauty of it. They're not competing against each other, and they're all getting the same award.
Okay, and you got them coming from all over the country. They kind of Northwest, West Coast.
Well, we've got Oregon, Washington, Idaho, California, Arizona, and British Columbia.
Okay.
Yeah, so pretty much the Northwest, other than Arizona, and I think he actually has a place in Arizona and has a place in Washington. But the car was in Arizona, so we call it Arizona.
And there you go.
So are these people? I mean, do a lot of these people? They probably know each other. It's a pretty tight group. Do they go show to show to show, or they kind of?
Like the ones competing for the Emerald Award. They go to show after show after show. The rest of them, some do, some don't. Some of them just come to a couple local shows. You know, Salem, maybe Portland, Spokane.
Yeah.
All right. Any hints of what those eight cars competing are, or is that something you got to wait till you get there to see?
I don't know if I can. I've only seen one of them, but we have a 56 GMC pickup. We have a 53 Ford pickup. We have a 53, maybe another Chevy pickup, I think. Uh-huh. Those are some. And we have a 60 T-Bird.
Oh, cool.
We have a... Oh, champ, drawing
so
a blank.
You're going to have to go to find
That's
out.
That's right.
Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah, and they're just gorgeous cars. Oh, 257 Chevys. One's a convertible and one's a hardtop.
Okay, the quintessential like American graffiti car.
Sure. Yeah. And a 33 Plymouth. So I think I got them all in there.
There you go.
And a 33 Plymouth?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And I'm even bringing my 31 Chevy back, my first car I ever owned. I brought it the first year, the 10th year, and the 20th year.
We
generally don't let anybody come back twice on our 10th anniversary and our 20th anniversary. We purposely invited back probably maybe 20 or 25 cars that have been there before. The rest are all cars that haven't been there.
New. Is that, it's kind of a, it's a labor of love, because it's not a cheap thing to do to restore these old cars. And, and I love the old cars, the new ones. Everything is white, blue, black. I mean, all the color is gone. It's like everything is sort of washed out. All the distinctive styling. I can't tell a Jag from a Hyundai anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. When you buy it, you could.
Well, I know that. But when you kind of look, they all have the kind of the same sort of blobby body style.
Yeah.
Where back in the day, you could tell a Chevy Impala, you could tell a GTO. I mean, you could tell them apart. You knew, you could look at them instantly. You could look at their grill and go, I know that's a whatever.
It's funny you say, we have one of every GTO from 64 to...
Those are so cool.
I think they... I'm not a GTO. I like GTOs, but I'm not... I could have this wrong and somebody would point it out to me.
Of course they will.
I think we have one to 74. We're missing a 71. We couldn't find a 71. But we have everything from 64 to 74. And then we have an 06. And then... They made newer ones, and I'm not sure exactly what year, but we have most of them. They're all going to be in together in a group.
Well, I just sit here and go, you want to look at the difference between these cars and today's cars, and all you need to realize is that 50, 60, 70 years from now, we are not going to be having car shows featuring a 2025 vehicle, because guess what? Their electronics will have all gone to crap, and without a engineering degree, there's no way in the world you could do the work on it yourself.
Yeah,
it'll be like a show with little salvage yard cubes. Was the 2012 Hyundai Sonata Hybrid, and what's left of it is a little metal cube that's been squished.
We always get, I mean, the crowd that comes to the show is older crowd generally, and the guys, the people in the car are definitely an older crowd, so. But we got the Bumblebee car back with the Transformer for all the kids.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. That's what I meant, like a famous car.
Okay, so that's our famous car. So I want to encourage the grandparents. You want to score some points with your grandkids. They're free to the show. If your grandfather and grandmother come to the show on Sunday, it's $20, and you can bring your three grandkids to the show, and you'll be a star. Or the parents, bring your young kids to the show. And if you want to make it a little, if it's mother and father on Saturday, it will cost you $30. If it's, you come on Sunday, it'll be $20. So, and then you bring your kids to the show. The kids just go for it. My grandson was there last year and the year before, and he just loves that. We bring that back every year because the guy just loves showing it, and he's so good with the kids and stuff. And
bring your kids, because let them see what it's really all about. You know, being able to build something with your hands and seeing how virtually, those cars to today's cars, the guts of it are all the same. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's just all digital computerized. So, it can take us over when the time comes. But I'm just sitting here going, I listen to my kids talk and, things like those automatic seat belts that used to be in the 80s.
Oh, in the 90s. Yeah.
My kids literally were amazed the first time they ever saw one of those.
Yeah.
Manual transmission.
I think they're the most annoying invention of ever.
Manual transmission. The kids are, just don't even understand anything about it. Don't know anything about it. Yeah. I'm just going, I love the idea of getting the kids out and seeing, what really built the American auto industry to a certain,
The other thing we have a women's forum. So these are cars owned by women.
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh. And there's like 14 of them that are in the forum, and that's a little separate thing. But it's a great time for everybody. Mm-hmm. I talked to somebody the other day, and they said, well, I'm not really into old cars, but I went to that show one time, and they said, my golly, wow.
Their
mouth was open. Yeah. They're just going, I can't believe these cars, and how beautiful are the paint and the interior, and the motors look like they're, you can eat off of them,
I know.
So it really, there's something for everybody. You might not think you like cars, but you go into that car show. It's not your local cruising. And we have a lot of good local cruises. Don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of big dollar cars from out of state that are going to be in that car show.
See, I like the really old ones, the 20s and 30s and 40s. I like those. That's kind of where my brain. I'm an Art Deco geek, and so I'm just like always looking for those. The Pierce Arrow, that. Well, but the really cool hood ornaments. I had a Jag. I've had two Jags in my life. And the last one, I actually saved the hood ornament because I just wanted it. I should put it on my Sonata.
That's all was left of it after you wrecked it?
What's so funny about cars like that? People would be like, oh, you own a Jag. I'm like, hon, your Toyota's worth more than my Jag.
Yeah.
They do not hold their value. You buy them because you love them.
Absolutely.
Well, and I love the idea that, I'm not a car person. Go jump in the car, take a road trip, and you see one of these cars pass you on the highway, and you're turning to look.
Oh, totally.
You become a car person, whether you think you are or not, when you see one of these cars.
And now you're going to have basically 180 of them to look at, 175, 180 to look at.
I don't know what the weather's going to be, but it's always, you could stroll around, spend the whole day there. There's going to be food and things like that there for folks?
Yeah, they have a concession stand there. We're not in charge of that, but they have that.
Okay.
So, oh, I know you've got a Facebook page. You have a web page?
Www.
You can leave that part out.
SalemRoadshow.com.
Yeah.
SalemRoadshow.com. And we have cars that pass winners and pass shows.
So this Saturday at the fairgrounds, 9 to 6, and Sunday, 9 to 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, it's going to be great. You're going to be there for the whole time, Greg?
Yeah, I might hide out sometimes. I got hiding spots.
Well, there's a lot of big trunks. You could just hide in one of those.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'll be there the whole time.
You're giving away the hiding spot, Denise. Come on, calm down.
Sorry, Greg. Sorry.
If you look at the back of a station wagon, you might find me sleeping back there, you know.
Okay, real quick before we let you go. I always called it when I was growing up the big back. And it was like all the kids wanted to be in the big back because you face the other way and you could make faces at the people behind you.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah.
We had it's the big back.
Yeah, we were riding around as kids with our sisters, and we made a wave to somebody with one finger, and the guy got out and was running towards the car. We were rolling the window up in the back facing him. We got it up before he yanked us out of the back of the car. So
we actually just had this conversation over the weekend with my mother telling my children about, you know, when she was young and riding in the station wagon with no seat belts and bouncing back and forth and the fight for the back end.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The big back was there where you wanted to be, man. That was where you wanted to be. Well, Greg, best of luck on the show again, Salem Roadster Show. Saturday and Sunday, check out that website. Check out the Facebook page. There's a lot of information out there. Always great to see you.
You
too. It's only once a year.
Oh, once a year. That's enough for us. I mean, I'd see you more often, but that's enough for us to do one show. Thanks. I hope everybody shows up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. So, of course, big, big doings last night, at least for us political geeks, was the SOTU State of the Union. Watched every second of it, the mustache and I. Had my glass of Malbec and my yummy dinner, and we sat down and enjoyed it. It was great.
I think that even the non-political geeks tended to want to see this a little bit. It was, I'm sure, on just about every news station out there. I actually watched it on Peacock. I was actually okay with their... I mean, they didn't interrupt it. They didn't try and commentary anything. They were their typical selves before and after, but I can put up with it simply because that's a streaming service I have, and that's where it was. And
right. I watched it on The Blaze. We watched it on The Blaze. Yeah. And I had a post, you know, how many people were watching it. Almost everybody, you know, well, I got a lot. There were a lot of people watching it, and most of the people basically thought it was really good. But, man, were there some moments. The first one being, obviously, I mean, really what you get out of it, that we really are two Americas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it was so stark last night. So stark.
Yeah, yeah. The camera work was impeccable. Let's put it that way.
Oh my gosh. Well, whoever that person is a raise.
That's right. We will get to them in a minute. But
yeah.
What was revealed last night in so many ways, and just taking aside the speech, being a record setting, nearly, you know, hour and 45 minutes or whatever this speech was, you could definitely see there is a line drawn of a pro-American citizen, pro-America group, and a we just want our way, or we're going to, you know, kick and moan and scream.
And we're going to burn it all down. Mm-hmm. There was a nice moment of bipartisanship having the men's hockey teams. I'm madly in love with every single one of those guys. I think they're amazing. And I think that's why the left hates them, is because they're amazing all-American kids playing a great game. I mean, I grew up with hockey living in the Northeast. And it was just, and they unabashedly, unashamedly love their country. And the left just can't have that. And it absolutely drives them insane. But they did stand up and applaud them.
So
that was a bipartisan, long standing O for those guys.
Yeah. And I go back, and one of the big controversies coming in, well, why weren't the women invited, this and that? My understanding is they were invited. It was a scheduling conflict with the women's team. And he did mention that they will be coming to the White House.
But apparently the left is losing their mind because there was, you know, there was some kind of a joke. Again, sometimes Trump, his stuff lands flat. Just the way he is. There was one moment last night where I think it was with the Medal of Honor, the older gentleman, and he talked about himself getting it. And I thought, dude, come on.
Yeah.
Overall, I mean, there were a couple of clinkers, but overall, that's just Trump. It's baked into the cake. You expect it. The thing with the women, I'm so done with the left. It's just they're so stupid and ridiculous.
Yeah. So,
but they're also dangerous. So we can't like completely discount them.
Exactly.
They're just ridiculous.
Well, I found myself drawing a little bit of comparison between last year and this year. Similarities. Green, put on his spectacle to make sure that he got removed. Senator Green
with his dopey sign. Did you see Scalise grab it out of him when they were doing the handshake line?
Yep. So yeah, he's started off and right off the bat got himself removed from the building.
Okay, good job there. Good job.
The handful of Democrats that didn't show differences is they actually
thought it was go ahead.
Oh, it was a good portion
70.
Of Democrats.
Yeah, 70.
That did not show up. But then of course the big difference is they did get at least once. The group standing up, and then, of course, Fetterman stood up for a vast majority of it.
Yeah, because he's not an idiot. I swear to God, Trump laid the most rudimentary of traps, like a trap that you could get out of, and they still managed to get themselves tangled up in it. It might as well have been a cardboard box and a string. And they walked right into it. How hard is it for you idiots to just stand up? But they can't. They just can't. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be political fodder for the whole rest of it better be if Republicans are smart, it will be.
Yeah.
Every Republican running this cycle will use that.
Yeah. There was a couple of moments where, literally it what would it hurt you to stand up for a Medal of Honor recipient, a military member or these other things? And if Republicans aren't using that to say, do they even care? I sit there and go, what are you doing? You're going to drop the ball. The biggest moment to me in that regard, and I think a couple people I saw on Twitter pointed it out, the Democrats handed the Republicans $1 billion ad campaign.
Oh, yeah.
When Donald Trump said, if you believe that government's job is to protect American citizens, not illegal immigrants, please stand up. And they didn't stand.
And they didn't. And it was a trap. I mean, it was not even a hidden trap. It wasn't like, punji sticks with brush over it. They saw it and they fell into it anyway. It's just the derangement. And that there's so many moments from last night. Of course, they didn't stand for Anna Zarutska, the parents of Irina Zarutska, who was sitting next to Erica Kirk. They didn't stand, of course, for Erica Kirk. I don't even want to get into what the so-called right is doing to Erica Kirk. That's for another day. I'm glad she was there, though. Mm-hmm. They did not stand for Sage Blair, who was a young woman who was separated from her parents at age 14 after school officials attempted to secretly transition her to male. She was honored. They didn't stand for her. But you're talking about that based cameraman.
Uh-huh.
Went right to, what's the guy's name? Can't even think of it. It's his name is Tim, but Sarah something.
Yeah, Tim.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Earlier, but the transgender representative, virtually the camera went right to him. If you notice throughout the night, they must have had the script because they knew who to point the camera at when he started talking about something, whether it was the corruption of the Somalians in Minneapolis and the fraud running rampant there, whether it was the transgender issue. They knew who to point that camera at to make them look show their faces and how much disdain they have for the people they claim to represent.
Exactly. And of course, that was focusing on Ilhan Omar and then the Rashida Tlaib, who were bellowing like. The memes, though, the memes. Somebody, they look like Statler and Waldorf up in the box at the Muppet Show. And of course, somebody memed it and it's brilliant. But again, you have to remember, Trump is a showman. Trump has been doing, he's from TV. Mm-hmm. He's a promoter. He knows how to do this. And so this was great TV. And these idiots fell right into it.
Yeah. And I sit here and go and you take out. So seeing some stuff beforehand, we mentioned the 70 Democrats that didn't show up.
Yeah.
And of course, virtually all of them from Oregon, except for Janelle Bynum, who we can get to her in a minute because she had some statements after, which just show her master of ignorance. But I sit there and I go, I was seeing some stuff beforehand about how you know, it's their responsibility as the representatives to attend this. Right. And they are literally pushing back against democracy and trying a little uprising by boycotting it, thinking that they're making a difference.
I know. They constantly tell us, you know, our democracy, which again, for the hundred and millionth, billionth, gajillionth time, we're not a democracy. For those in the back, for the Janelle Bynums and the Maxine Dexters. And of course, so we saw the videos that were coming out about their alternative people's protest. Maxine Dexter, has this woman no shame? She is the most ridiculous, cringe human being, I think, on the planet.
I
would give her that top honor.
I think she is so obsessed with Donald Trump that she thinks that she's going to have these, you know, attention-grabbing moments that might catch his eye, and they might have that just, you know, that storybook ending where they catch each other's eyes and just the butterflies, love is in the air, this and that. The picture of her holding up the Constitution for Dummies, surrounded by people in blow-up frog outfits, I just go, what is wrong with you? And how do you think anyone can take you seriously at this point in time?
That's the thing. And I got to say, if you're still voting for Democrats, look, oh my God, seriously.
Well, she wasn't the only Oregon Democrat at this event. Because
old melty wax face Ron Wyden was there as well. And of course, there were the animal costumes. There was the screaming. He was there to praise.
We're going to have to talk about it. We only got a couple seconds left. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah, we're So we're coming up on the bottom of the hour news. So we will continue this conversation on the other side of the news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and by Mart.
Well, okay, so there were so many moments. There were so many moments. It was really, to me, I think, you know, bottom line, we'll come back to melty wax face Ron Wyden here in a second, but I think bottom line, Trump did what he needed to do. He needed to frame, you know, the accomplishments, and I thought he did a good job. He didn't come, sometimes he can be a bit of a blowhard, and he did not, that blowhard vibe, that didn't come through. But touting the accomplishments, really, really pushing the Democrats up against a wall to come out and then show us your true feelings, which they did, really doing a lot of honoring. Really, I mean, really, this was about the American people. This was not about Trump. It was about the people that he was honoring, and it was about the American people.
Yeah, he came out and touted some of his accomplishments and pointed out things like having a secure border was something they said couldn't happen, and we now actually have it. I think zero unauthorized crossings in the last year or 9 months. 9 months, zero unauthorized crossings.
So he
touted himself a little bit right off the bat, but then he really went into focusing on the American people, pushing for things like the SAVE Act, announcing J.D. Vance and the war on fraud.
I have to stop right there because anytime we declare war on something, it just gets worse.
Yes.
The war on poverty, the war on drugs. Maybe we don't declare war on fraud. We just go out and route it out and get rid of it.
Well,
don't declare war on it.
You don't need to declare war on it. But I love the idea of J.D. Vance being the guy behind exposing this fraud that, you know, is running rampant nationwide.
When he made that, did they pan to Ilhan Omar to see?
They did. And she had the most awkward looking face. Because she knew that JD was not going to let it slide.
Oh, crap.
Uh-oh.
Oh, curses foiled again. Oh, my gosh. Okay,
They're like Batman, you know, bad guys.
Batman villains?
The Batman villains. Curses, I'm foiled again. I would have got away with it, too, if you weren't for you meddling politicians.
Well, speaking of meddling politicians, again, Senator Ron Wyden, New York's third senator. He was there to praise, of course, Portland, you know, the naked bike riders, which is such a beloved tradition in Oregon. Anti-ICE protesters in frog costumes, who he called wonderful patriots. These people are deranged. They're just deranged.
So, yeah, it was announced beforehand after all of the uproar about the alternate halftime show that a group of Democrats was going to get together and run an alternate State of the Union. Huh, weird how they want to do exactly what they, you know, said. If you did this during the Super Bowl, you're a racist. But it started off with some guy in a giraffe costume screaming about how he was arrested. He's coming straight from jail. He's been arrested 3 times by ICE, once in Portland, twice in Minneapolis. And he was just arrested for singing a song, which then he sang, which had things to do with white supremacy and this and that. And I'm going, so you think it's a mocking of ICE agents while you're singing to them about how you're racist? Okay, that makes a whole lot of sense.
And again, in a giraffe costume, and my understanding is he had a pair of panties on over it and a fanny pack.
Panties and a fanny pack on this costume. And I'm kind of going, that is... I wonder about the attendees. Who in their right mind would attend anything like this when that's how it starts off, and then it's followed by inflatable frogs and furries and this and that, politicians holding up Constitution for Dummies. You know that's the best knowledge she has of the Constitution right there.
Oh, sure.
And she probably hasn't even read it, probably got the Cliff Notes for the dang thing. But I'm just going, they literally expose themselves as not serious people.
Yeah.
Trying to mock Trump, and all of it does turn around kind of right back on them, because I didn't find it mocking. I didn't think it was funny.
No.
It was just obnoxious.
It doesn't land well, and it just shows, okay, we get it. You hate this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are other ones you can go to. Bye.
Well, we all know they hate their constituents. They won't even go to, this hearing or this joint session to listen quietly or even express their desires there.
And I have to wonder, you're right. I mean, who's voting for these people anymore? Is it all the old aging hippie baby boomers that are trying to relive their glory days? Do they actually pull the lever for these clowns? Maxine Dexter is a clown.
Yeah. I just sit here and go, Oregon is represented in D.C. by like a joke. The only Democrat that attended was Janelle Bynum. So we'll give her credit for that. But of course, she came out afterwards and decided that standing for anything Donald Trump asked her to stand for would be racist.
What an idiot. I'm sorry. I'm just so over these people. They're not serious. They clearly despise the country. They don't care about their constituents. They've shown over and over and over again that they care more for people who are criminals breaking into the country. They don't care if Oregonians and their fellow citizens get hurt. Thank you. We've heard you. You've told us who we are. We believe you.
So I question the mentality, because a good reporter probably would have asked the question, so you didn't stand about protecting Americans. What's racist about that? That would have been a good question to follow up with.
Wouldn't that have been like an obvious question to follow up with?
Well, they won't do that because they got to protect it. The rebuttal afterwards.
That I did not watch. I could not stomach Abigail Spamberger.
Okay,
sorry.
I watched a little bit, but I'll tell you what. I honestly checked out substantially and even paying attention to what she said. Her initial statement was about, you know, the economy for the average American. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, paying attention to the things I did, if she is smart, she would have ridden that one to the ground, because mm-hmm. yes, the economy is better, but how much are average Americans feeling things are better? Prices are down. I wish Trump had put that out more. Is the prices are down from what they were from a few years ago. They're not where we want them to be yet, but they're down. But so she pointed that out. But then she went into using all of the propaganda talking points we see, like the little boy in a blue hat who got sent to the ICE detention center.
Which is a lie. His father abandoned him.
And the moment you have a political figure who's doing a rebuttal to something like what we saw, they lose all credibility to me the moment they start using debunked propaganda to try and get their point across.
Did she bring up the Very Fine People hoax? That one's that tried and true.
I think she let that one go. I didn't hear it, but I might have tuned out to the point where I just didn't notice it.
I have family in Virginia. And so for this woman to be up there ranting and talking about how everything's expensive, when she campaigned as a moderate, and she is a full-blown, full-bore commie over there, raising taxes on everything from dog walking to basically taking a breath outside your door. So don't tell me about things are too expensive. Abigail.
Well,
these people, I mean, again, just enough of this.
Well, and that's the problem, is these most prominent Democrat voices we hear from, their own home states are substantially more expensive than middle America.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, gas has gone up, 40 cents, 50 cents here in Oregon, while it's still, you know, under $3 throughout most of middle America.
I have some numbers for you
on
that.
Perfect.
Since you brought it up,
I think it's
Oregon gas jumps 22 cents. It's $3.91 while the average sits at $2.95. I know Washington's going, hold my beer, because I got you. I'm higher up here. But yeah.
Wait, how is that the president's issue if the gas here in Oregon is way expensive when we're run by Democrats, but yet places that are run by Republicans that are allowing Trump's, you know, agenda to take place are actually doing better economically in those costs that we hear so much about?
Like $1 to $1.50 cheaper a gallon. Just kind of cross over some mountain ranges and it's a lot different. I do want to mention, too, the reaction to the State of the Union in real time as well. And this is a CNN poll. Mm-hmm. Negatives were 36, positives were at 63. So, again, I think he did what he had to do. And I have notes here. The consensus from me anyway was the tone was excellent. He framed it as strong America first. America is back. He got in some great zingers, great moments, great stuff for people campaigning for Republicans. He made the Democrats look like absolute fools.
Well, yeah, there was
which they are.
Well, he mentioned that he has ended a handful of wars during his year back in office and they booed it. And then he made the point, and I'll give him a lot of credit for this one because we don't want to hear it, but it needs to be said. We want peace, but we're willing to make it happen if we have to.
Honestly, I was thinking, I wonder if there's a military action going on in Iran right now while we're all mm-hmm. watching the State of the Union. I'm like, I'm going to check X.
Yeah.
I didn't see
anything. So going back, I actually saw a little extended clip out of CNN where they pointed out that they're pre-State of the Union address polls showed about 52-53% of the people thought America was going in the right direction. Uh-huh. And coming out the post-show, it got up to the 63-type numbers. So
interesting.
He changed some hearts and minds by speaking to the average American.
Who was I listening to? I don't remember which show this morning. One of our guys, maybe Glenn Beck, where a guy called up and he said, my wife and I watched this and we never really agree. He said for the first time, she noticed, why aren't they standing?
Mm-hmm.
She noticed. So if this one woman who never really agrees, doesn't really like him, all of a sudden noticed and said, that's absolutely ridiculous. She noticed, you know, where there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's many, many more. I think this moved the needle. Yep. For a lot of people, because the Democrats, I mean, they just cannot control themselves anymore. They basically are toddlers who just have no impulse control.
Well, it's why a large portion of them didn't even show up and instead tried to run an alternate version to try and take eyeballs, which, of course, their diehard followers, I'm sure, were watching their version instead, because guess what? We can't allow them to see the truth of how things really are. We don't want them to see it. We don't want to see the bad behavior. They can come watch us have a party with inflatable froggies.
And lots of gummies. I'm sure there were lots of gummies there. I did want to mention, too, and I just saw this. Remember from last year's State of the Union, mm-hmm. DJ Daniel, who was there. What an amazing kid. And they make him an honorary Secret Service agent. Mm-hmm. He passed away 2 days ago.
Yeah,
he was dealing with brain cancer. And, of course, that was what we were talking about last year. They mm-hmm. wouldn't stand for this amazing young kid who now is no longer with us.
Yeah, they wouldn't stand for a 13-year-old with cancer.
With brain cancer.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing moment. So really sad to see that. And again, you know, following X, again, if you don't have an X account, man, you're missing out because there was so much good. And just the memes.
Yeah.
The memes.
Yeah. I'm hoping they'll do a whole Muppets episode with Tlaib and Ilhan Omar.
As Statler and Waldorf.
I think that would just fit the mode perfectly.
Well, there were a couple of tweets I want to read. These are people that I follow. Jesse Kelly, he tweeted out, Democrats are godless communists who want your country full of foreign rapists and murderers. Every chance the GOP gets to point it out, it should. Trump did that last night. Just keep doing it. And then, of course, everyone's favorite, the wonderful, indomitable James Woods. He said, when asked to stand if they supported Americans over illegal aliens, every worthless Democrat sat on their lazy grifter arses. But they knelt for George Floyd like they were praying to Almighty God. They are truly disgusting. And I think that sums it up. Yep.
Well, I will give credit to Fetterman because he actually was the one standing up. He was the lone Democrat. I wonder life is going to be like when he gets, you know.
I don't think he cares.
I don't think so either. And I sit here and go, and to think that when he got elected, we were so worried about, but I don't know whether it's his near-death experiences from his stroke or whatever. Really kind of changed his perspective on what's important in life. And he wore a suit. So a lot of people were like, applause to whoever found him a suit because he's normally a sweatshirt guy.
And he's a big guy. I know. And I'm glad he did. And I would say he really is. He's sort of excoriating, scolding, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not that hard for you to be decent human beings, Democrats. I guess it is, though.
Well,
it wouldn't have taken that much to just be decent professional human beings for one night.
Yeah. To show. Yeah. Maybe he's trying to lead by example. I don't know. But, you know, things are a lot more effective when we can actually work together.
Yeah.
And here's a guy that you know, the simple statement of, I respect the office, even if I don't like the man.
Weren't we all taught that? Mm-hmm. Back when I didn't vote for Obama, I couldn't stand Obama's presidency. That was 8 very, very long years. Biden's presidency was absolutely horrific, but you still respect the office.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the television ratings when they come out for this, because... I have a feeling they might not like it because it might have got more eyes than the halftime show.
Than the TPUSA halftime show?
No, than the regular halftime show. We'll see. Only time will tell.
Did you see, real quick before we take our last break, Babylon Bee? It's like, Bad Bunny is going to give the Democrat response, and they're telling him all about. He's like, gay?
He's not allowed to. The FCC has banned him from TV appearances. Live TV appearances for 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I thought that was funny. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Cozy's New York Deli.
Okay, so I'm kind of popping out over onto X because the gas tax thing has been punted again, and I'm over on, you know, hashtag or Paul to try to find out. I do have a couple of quotes on the gas tax referendum. Governor Kotek was saying legislators have been very clear. They want to put the measure before voters as soon as possible. See, the voters wanted it on November, and that's what they signed. 250,000 of them spoke and said November. Representative Werner Reschke saying, well, not exactly. Democrat legislators are trying to avoid accountability for their tax vote when they're up for re-election in November by shifting the vote to May.
Wait a minute. Governor Kotek, she knows what we want more than we do.
Is she not being truthy?
She knows more than we are just too ignorant of a public to know
Sit
what
down.
Was best for
they
us.
They know what's best.
We need
exactly.
to know in May whether we want to get taxed or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Please, sir, tax me some more.
Yeah,
I love being taxed and getting nothing for it.
So my understanding is today is the day. If it is not passed and on her desk to be
right.
signed
today's
today,
the 25th.
They cannot move it up to May. So I don't know what's going on in the Capitol right here. I'm hoping the Republicans have just walked out and let it die.
Don't give them quorum. Let it die. So again, I'm out here. I'm scrolling through. I'm not really seeing much of anything on it. I'm sure we'll find out after we get off the air. But it's interesting the way they're trying to frame it for people that, you know, we know best. And we just, you know, we want to vote on it sooner rather than later. And again, thanks to Rep. Reschke, whose very pithy tweet lays it all out.
We know, yeah, we need to know sooner rather than later so we can budget and fit our money. You know, what if we have a snowstorm in June or July? We would need to know and be able to clear the roads. And I just sit here and go, a quality government is going to have a budget with and without this referendum accounted for. So you've already prepared for it, or you should be.
Well, in Oregon, is that like quality government? Is that like a quality leering center, though?
Probably is.
Yeah. Maybe they use the word, you know, you use the word quality, but let's throw air quotes around that.
Maybe we need to put up a big sign across the entranceway of the Capitol that says, you know, Oregon's leering center.
Yeah. Well, you're not leering. Clearly, you can't leer. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to find out that. And then the gun bill, 4145, what's going on with that? So I don't know. It's what? It's 12:53 right now. So who knows what's going on?
Yeah.
Who knows? But, you know, our congressional delegation is just representing so proudly.
Well, I just sit here and I go, you know, I don't know. Is silence a good thing or a bad thing in this scenario? You know,
yeah,
because
yeah.
Literally for the last number of days, we've almost been seeing like regular updates on what's going on. And now all of a sudden it's dead silent. Is that because the people that were giving us updates have decided they don't want to be there? So that could be a good thing.
Yeah. I'll be all over it this afternoon looking at what's going on. But again, meanwhile, you know, we have to have our congressional delegation, you know, frolicking with inflatable frogs. and singing terrible protest songs out of key.
Maybe if a bunch of furries show up down there, they'll get some work done and, you know, actually solve the problems of Oregon.
Honestly, I think if they were really committed to all this, why not do the naked bike ride on February 25th? Put your money where your bike seat is.
Because it would be a little cold, and, you know, it would be unimpressive.
You know what happens when it's a little cold.
Yeah, I just...
They won't go. All right, we will not go there.
Well, so...
Because that's actually just too gross to
comment. So Ron Wyden attending the anti-ICE rally instead of the State of the Union actually is trending now. And just seeing the pictures of the crowd, all these people wearing green frog hats, him giving a speech with inflatable frogs behind him. And I just go, what a joke Oregon is at the national level.
It's so appallingly embarrassing. And of course, you can go to defiance.org. I guess to what? Get a costume?
Get a costume?
Because that's what it is now. Antifa runs around in inflatable Tyrannosaurus Rex and frog suits, and they think that that's edgy, I guess.
Well, no, in Ron Wyden's speech, he even pointed out the origin of these stupid frog costumes. That literally, Trump said that Oregon is a battleground around ICE, which we all know it was for over 100 days. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he made that statement, you know, he rushed down there, so he jumped on his private plane, flew from New York, you know, went down there midday. We all saw the videos of him midday around the ICE facility. And, of course, all he saw was someone in an inflatable costume. And that's when it picked up, and that's when it caught on.
Right.
And that's when morons started going out to say, we can't be violent because we're in a frog outfit.
Right, which is all calculated. See, it's just cute little animals. And I'm also looking in the crowd. There's people wearing little frog hats as well, too.
Yeah,
again, these people are not serious, but they are still dangerous because they have sort of mobilized a bit of an army that will go out there. And we're seeing all the videos. And we're going to talk more about this tomorrow, what's going on in schools and the dereliction of duty coming from our public school system. But, yeah, they're going out there and, it's harmless. It's just funny. They're just singing songs and they're chanting and banging drums and wearing frog costumes. What's your problem, normal American people?
Yeah, they're out there having a good old time. It's just a party. It's like a giant line dance out in the middle of the street blocking the traffic. You should be happy to detour around these people because, gosh darn it, they're just in cutesy little outfits, not causing any challenges, at least not until the lights go out.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, most Americans are celebrating our amazing men's hockey team, the women's hockey team, the amazing skaters, the gold medals we brought home, focusing on things, you know, looking at how to make life better, looking at the things that are better and things that are good in this country and loving this country regardless, warts and all. And that's where I think most people land, honestly.
Well, and I think what we saw last night made people realize that that's what's really important in this country. You know, not the far left agenda, not even the far right agenda. What it is that middle America, the average person living a free life away from the threat of violence and disruption and you know, going about their business, ideally without being taxed to death either.
Right. Looking at you, Oregon.
That's right. Looking right in the eyes as we figure out what's going on downtown.
All right, everybody, that's it for us today. We're going to chat with Beth Jones tomorrow, who's running for HD17 in the primary. See you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.